Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Mark's Remarks. We are continuing my French Connection project surrounding the Rhode Island women's basketball program, and I have a very special guest here joining us today. One of the biggest driving forces of the turnaround for Rhode Island women's basketball, a two-time All-Atlantic 10 player for Rhode Island and the 2022-2023 Atlantic 10 Most Improved Player of the Year, the former Rhode Island Rams, now current Utah Utes forward. I'm joined today by Miss Maya Torre. Maya, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm very, very excited to have you on to talk about this, because when I had hatched the idea for this project, a lot of it was from watching players like you, watching Inez, and watching a lot of these unbelievably talented French basketball players here at URI just play their hearts out and really change this program in a way that people in and around the University of Rhode Island had just never seen before. So I'm thrilled that you got to take the time to be able to come and talk to me about all of your experiences in Rhode Island, and I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit about how you're doing in Utah. But to start off, I want to turn back the clock way back. I want to learn a little bit about just how you got into basketball, because basketball in France has been growing exponentially over the past few years, especially women's basketball. And it's very interesting to see how much talent continues to come out of France and the amount of young talent that continues to come out of France each year. But in your case, I'm just curious, how did basketball ultimately start for you? How did you get involved and start playing?
I'll say it's a little random because, like, I don't have anybody playing basketball in my family or even, like, friends. So I just started because my sister had a best friend and she was playing basketball. And when my dad and I used to just go get her after practice, and we'd arrive a little bit early, and I would just be on the sideline trying to reproduce the same exercises they were doing, just taking cones and a ball. But I knew nothing about the game, and I just was doing that. And I had fun, and the coach saw me, and I was pretty tall for my age, so he proposed to me if I just wanted to try, and I just joined, and I never stopped. I actually loved the game. I was practicing with, like, the youngest team to the older teams. Like, I would do, like, 3-4 practices a day just because I just couldn't leave the gym. I just loved it.
That's interesting. I was actually curious, just your entire life, you're one of the tallest players on Rhode Island during your tenure. I imagine, yeah, you must have been tall for the majority of your life. How did that impact you when you actually started playing? Did it make learning the game and really picking up the subtle nuances of basketball, did it make it easier since you were, I guess, taller than most other people?
Yeah, I think it definitely helped to have some physical advantages. And I think one thing that was good is that I never just started playing inside. Like, when I was younger, I was just playing just basketball, like, every positions. And it's really when I got into, like high school that I had to pick a position. But before that, I was just having fun. So I think that helped with, like, being able to be versatile and just not be stuck into doing only one thing.
And so at what point did you start playing basketball competitively? Were you playing for, like, a club team before high school, or did you just really decide to lock in, pick a position, and start playing for a team when you hit high school?
No, I started when I was 6 years old, and I knew I wanted to do that my whole life. So that was kind of my plan in my head. But in France, it's like you have to play for a club. It's never like you just, you know, it's like I always been following the path that was going to take me to play pro eventually. So I was doing both school and basketball, and I was living there just going home for the weekend when I was in middle school. And then high school, it was the same thing for 3 years. And my last year, I had the opportunity to practice and have some games with the pros. So I learned a lot during that year. Like, there's great players on the team, like WNBA players and, like, just great EuroLeague players. So that was just a great experience to learn from the people that did it already. And then that's when I decided to come to the US after high school.
And so what was that, like, work-life balance like growing up, like having to play for a club, having it the sport and school being separate for a period of time, and having to, you know, go really commute and play a lot on the weekends? What was it like? How involved were your parents doing that? Were they really supportive, bringing you to and from practices every day? Like, how engaged were they in that process?
I think it was pretty easy because it never felt like work for me. Like, I remember being in class and looking at the time, just waiting to go to practice because that was just fun to me. And my family is very supportive. They watch me from a distance. I don't really like them being in the gym. I mean, I grew up not liking them being in the gym watching me, but now that I'm a little older and I know how to handle the pressure better, I'm fine with it. Like, but I think growing up, that was more my thing. I wasn't like necessarily bringing my family to the games or practices. That was more like my thing, my escape, my way of having fun. And now definitely my family is more involved, but they always supported me even in the past.
And at what point, you mentioned how you had always dreamed of playing basketball professionally, and it's obviously a very different path to the professional game in Europe than it is in the United States. And I'm just curious, at what point did you ultimately decide or have to start making that decision of wanting to either go play professionally straight out of like high school in Europe, or to decide to go over to the United States and pursue an education while also playing basketball?
I think when I was younger, I didn't really, like, my plan wasn't really realistic. Like, I just thought I was going to play basketball and just be pro when I have the capacity and level to be a pro. But when I was doing my last year of high school and I was about to graduate, that's when I started thinking about, but I can't just be playing now. Like, I don't have an actual degree, and, like, it's just not doable. Even my parents wouldn't want me to do that. So that's when I started to be more open to going to the U.S. because I think that's the only place you can actually do both and have a balanced schedule and still be efficient in both. So that's when I started being open about going, and that's when I met Coach A. I think I met him, like, actually the year before, and that's when I actually started thinking about coming. And I didn't plan on going to any other school. I didn't visit. I didn't talk to another coach. I wasn't even open to respond to any emails or going to another school. I just wanted to go to URI because I just knew Coach A was the perfect fit for me. I think he's a big part of my evolution. We were in the gym every morning, 5 a.m. for 4 years, and he almost didn't give me a day off. And, like, it didn't matter. Before, after practice, we would stay coming back at night. And even after games, when I didn't play a lot, I would still work out with him. So he was really invested, and he really helped me get to where I am today. And he still helps me even here when I'm not at Rhode Island. So that was the main thing I was looking for going to Rhode Island. And obviously the whole coaching staff, they're awesome. I think without that exact team, we wouldn't have went that far that year, and I mean these years. And yeah, I would say it's after my last year in high school, that's when I started thinking about coming to US.
And while doing this project, I've spoken to a number of players that have all seemingly had the same sort of thing to say about Coach A and just how influential he was in getting you guys to come over to play for the University of Rhode Island. But I'm curious, just those initial conversations, when you first meet him and then as he starts to learn more about you as a person and you as a player, what were those initial interactions with him like when he's trying to convince you to come over to the United States and to come play for the University of Rhode Island?
I think, especially coming from France, it's hard because, like, when you say that you're going to leave the country and play somewhere else, like, the coaches in France, they're all like, oh, they're just telling you what you want to hear. You're not actually going to do this and that. So, like, you have to, like, have some discernment and make your own decision. And talking to Coach, I felt like he was being genuine and, like, he meant what he was saying. And I also saw that he was doing what he was telling me with MP and Manu, so that was comforting. And I knew he wasn't just trying to bring me there to just, like, use me on the court, or it was actually trying to get me better. And even before I came, when I was still playing in France, he was watching my games and telling me what things I could do better, things I could focus on more. And, like, I just felt the genuine connection. And I think what's good is that, like, He's not the type of coach that's just gonna coach you on the court. It's actually getting you better also off the court and getting to know you, your family. Like, I have a very big family. I have five siblings, and he know all of them, and he knows all my nephews and nieces. I have 10 nieces and nephews. Like, he actually get to know your family, where how you grew up, how you were raised, everything. And I think that what helps the program too, because it doesn't just recruit players, it recruit people and like do some background check and stuff.
That was actually going to lead me into what I wanted to learn about next. Was it seems that it was easy for you to make that decision once you had those conversations with him and you had already been so passionate about basketball to when once you realized that you have a genuine connection with that coach and will probably end up having a genuine connection with the rest of the staff, that decision for you is a little bit easier. But I imagine that your parents and the rest of your family maybe were still like trying to come to terms with it since it's such a far move away. What were some of the messages that Coach Amadou was giving your family to try and establish a level of trust with them to make sure that they understand that you're going to be taken care of and that this is in the best interest of yourself and that the program over at the University of Rhode Island will be the best landing spot for you to develop as a person and as a player?
I think the main person that we had to convince was my dad, because he's very protective and like very strict. So, and he doesn't speak English. So Coach A was trying to, because my family was talking to the whole staff and getting to know everybody, but since my dad didn't speak English, the communication was more between the coaches and my brother, and my brother would then explain to my dad. And I think Coach A just was being himself and presented himself to my brother, and my brother is very actually hard to, he doesn't give his trust easily, but he felt the same thing I felt. And Coach A made them make sure they knew that I was not just going to another country in a random team with random people. Like, he would actually take over and like it would be like my brother and like looking over me even off the court and like making sure I'm good, I'm doing the right things. And he just gained their trust, and that's what they actually did. I think Coach A is part of my family now. Like, he will be invited to my wedding and everything. Like, it's a forever connection. So I think it was just being himself, and that just convinced my whole family.
And how quickly did this whole process unfold? Because I sat in on a speaker event that Coach Reese did on campus the other day, and she talked a lot about just how this recruiting process really goes, where she gives Coach A the reins to really take on the European side of this recruiting process, and how a lot of these European players, like yourself, like Inez and so on, are very eager, and it's a much quicker recruitment process than what we may see over in the United States. And so, I mean, just the ballpark, how long did this whole process take from when you were first entertaining the idea to go to the University of Rhode Island to when you ultimately decided yourself and as a family that this was the best move?
I think, like, when I met Coach A, we talked for a month, and I was sure of my plan. I just had to do one more year in high school and tell all my coaches and everything, but I was already doing the paperwork, and I just knew already. It didn't take long, but it also helped because I felt like I wasn't ready. Like, I did have some opportunities to play pro because I had some experience from my last year in high school, but I still didn't feel like that was gonna be my best potential, and I just knew I had so much more to learn, and I could have been going pro and like gaining some minutes with the years and just gaining experience, and it would have taken time, but I don't think I would have grown as fast and as much as I've grown coming to the US. So the whole decision was pretty simple. I think I would say it took a month, and then we started doing paperwork.
And there was another thing that I had learned as I was going through this, is that it seems that the women's basketball community in France is rather close-knit, and that a lot of players that once you get to this level where you're capable of going to play in the United States and coming over from France, a lot of players know each other. Like, I just had, I don't know if you've met her yet, Palmyr Mbu. She came on my show recently. She talked about how she had known players like Inez and NIL prior to coming over here. Were there any players that you knew that were also heading over to URI that you had known from your playing days? Or rather, did you know players that had played there or played for Coach Reese and Coach Amadou previously before you decided to commit?
I know Manu and MP from like just like their name because they're not my generation, so I never played with them, but I knew them. And I grew up, I played with Awa for a couple years before I came to the US. I knew Ines since I'm like 13 years old. Palmia too, I knew her from about like I think I was 13 too when I met her. So like we all grew up together and like we played the same tournaments and we play against each other, so we grew up together. We actually know each other and I think that helps. And when I was at Rhode Island, you really felt like a family.
That's fascinating. I mean, because you don't see that in America. Just considering how big the country is, you really just don't see that often. But considering that you had known them for such a long time and that you had played against them, did that, when you ended up getting over to Kingston, how did that translate to on-the-court performance? Did that experience of you guys playing against each other and knowing each other through this developmental path for so long, did that help you guys really click in terms of chemistry on the court?
I think it wasn't even... I don't think I felt the transition. I just feel like I just been knowing them for so long and it was just so easy. And especially Awa Ines, I played with them and lived in the same campuses as them for like a couple years, so like it was already natural. And I think we built connections off the court too and like made sure we took care of each other. We're sisters to each other, so like when we got on the court, it was just about playing for each other and like just it was just natural.
And so then you finally get over to URI, all the paperwork is done, you officially are able to join up with the team, and you move on to campus in the summer and start that new life in America. What were those initial weeks like in terms of acclimating to life on campus? I can imagine that the basketball, for the most part, was an easy transition because of the game of basketball. Everyone can understand how to operate like that, even with a language barrier. But in terms of actually acclimating on campus, what was that initial period like before the students even got there?
I think I was just impressed. I was just like, oh my God, like, the U.S. is actually different. Like, everything's bigger. Everything is, like, just made for you to focus on performing. Like, you don't have to do anything. You just, the food is ready for you, the gears, everything. Like, even after practice, they do laundry for you. So you really just have to be locked in on playing basketball. I was, like, so impressed. And when we were traveling, we were chartering. I've never chartered before. I was, like, impressed of everything. Like everything that I do that was new every day, I was like a kid. And I remember I arrived during COVID, so I didn't meet my teammate right away, but we were allowed to just play outside to like just stay in shape. So I met a couple of them like that, and I was just like, oh my God, like I'm actually here. And I remember just being impressed and actually just being ready for the experience. And I was surprised of how people could be different when we change countries. I think people in America are very open-minded and they're very like chill and nice. Like everybody would just say hi and say like, oh, I like your shoes, oh, this. And in France, we're not really like, you know, open-minded. We don't really talk to people we don't know. So I was just like, people are so cool here. I just loved it.
And I can imagine that having to adjust and acclimate to this new place during COVID must have been unbelievably challenging. But before I kind of get into that, I'm more curious, what were your initial reactions of the American players when you got there? I mean, during those initial, like, playing outside, trying to get to know your teammates, and then even during practice, what were they like in terms of basketball players, and how did they respond to you knowing that you were coming over from Europe and that you were still trying to learn English fully and really trying to establish yourself in this new environment?
I think they're very easy to connect with. And one thing I instantly noticed, and that was something I was looking for me to get better at too, is just their confidence. Like, it didn't matter if they played, didn't play, if they had the coach's trust, if they had a lot of minutes or if they scored, not scored. I know like the difference from the mentality here in Europe is so different. Like no matter what, players are confident here. And I think that's something that's the biggest thing I've taken from the US and that I'm going to bring back home when I go play pro. I just grow my confidence, and I think that can change anybody's game. I think you can work as much as you want on skills, but if at the end of the day you don't have confidence, it's just not going to show.
And it's clearly evident that the confidence that you were able to really hone in and build on paid off toward the back end of your tenure in Rhode Island. But during your first 2 years, you only started one game. You were kind of on the back end of the pecking order in that front court, in that front court group. So I'm just curious, just those first sort of two seasons. I mean, starting with just when you ultimately made your debut for Rhode Island. How about let's start with that. How was that experience after getting adjusted with the team, learning just the new tactical style, getting used to Coach Reese? What was that first moment getting your first minutes for Rhode Island like?
I think I wasn't really ready. I had to learn and adjust to the American game. So I think that's why my first year I didn't play. I think I played like 15 minutes like the whole season. So like I was just, that was really a learning year for me. But I wasn't discouraged or I wasn't sad. That was very hard. That was probably the hardest season in my whole life. But Coach A was there for me and we were working every day. So it's not like my confidence and my skills weren't growing. I was very confident in the future that I could potentially have. And I was just grateful because I had Manu and MP in front of me playing the same position. And like, they're such great example. Like, they're so consistent. They play hard every time. They do it in practice, in games. They're leaders. Like, they talk all the time. So it was just, for me, it wasn't even that hard. I just had to learn from them and just be patient. I knew my time would come. Coach A helped me a lot. I think I would have struggled with patience if he wasn't showing me that he did that before, but he was just giving me examples of a lot of players that did the same thing, that didn't play much their first couple of years, and then they had a breakout year, and some of them had player of the year. Like, I think one example that stayed in my mind this whole time, and even today I think about it, is Obi Toppin. He was playing at Dayton, and same thing, he redshirted his first year, and then he just exploded. It was so good. And I remember Coach A telling me that I was like 18 years old, and till today I'm 22. I'm thinking about that story every day. That's what gives me hope when I'm starting to be impatient, or like when I feel like my work is not paying off. So yeah, I was just trying to be patient, learn from the people in front of me, and that was hard, but I was very confident that my time would come.
And it's clear that there was a development plan in place for you and that Coach Amadou was really trying to take the forefront to help mold you and make sure that you were comfortable, but also continuing to push yourself and improve each day. I'm curious, how was Coach Reese involved with all of this? Like, what were your initial conversations with her during your freshman year in terms of what she foresaw for you as your role in this team at that moment, and then as the seasons were going on? What were some of the things that she was telling you that she believed were going to be what you would be able to do in Rhode Island?
I think when I got there, I was really shy, and also I wasn't as confident in my English, so I wasn't really communicating a lot how I was feeling or how like things were going for me. But I think as the time went by, she got to learn how I function, and like she actually saw that I had that fire and that I loved that game, and I just wanted to be better, and I just wanted to be ready for my year when she needs me to be on the court. And initially, I think she saw my potential, but she knew I wasn't ready, and she was being patient with me and helping me, telling me the things I have to focus on and telling me what she needs from me. And then when it got to the time where she was using me on the court and like I had a bigger role, I think our connection was very good and it was very important for me. Like, I could just look at her, I knew what she wanted me to do on the court, and same thing. And I remember a couple games when it was very tight at the end, and I would just look at her and call a play that I wanted her to call, and she would call that play and it worked because she trusted me and I trusted her, and like we just had that connection, and I could just tell her the things that I was feeling on the court.
And She has a very eccentric personality, one that not many coaches have. She brings a certain flair to the sideline that really draws a lot of attention, but she also holds a very high standard for her players in terms of how they conduct themselves both on and off the court. Compared to other coaches that you've worked with throughout your time, just how does she fit into all of that? And how did you really respond to her sort of coaching style?
I think she's unique. She's very special. She has great energy. Doesn't matter, like, she's gonna always give 100%, and the days she's gonna be sick, like, if she's very sick and she knows she cannot give 100%, she would not come to practice because she doesn't wanna, like, bring the energy down or, you know, drain people. Like, she's all about giving 100%, so I think these are great values that she shared with us and everybody, and I think even the coaching staff, like, we all love that about her. And that was my first time having a coach that is that expressive and that, like, I would say, like, emotional, because you can see that she loved the game and she cares. And I think that fits right with me, because I'm also very emotional, and, like, it can fit in some places, and in other places it's not fitting. So I think that was just great.
As we've talked a lot about just how your life developed outside of basketball and outside of actually playing the game, but now I think everybody listening is going to want to hear a little bit of just how you fully developed once you really started playing. And I mean, the best way to describe it is just looking at the difference between your 2021-2022 season and then the year when the Rams won the Atlantic 10 regular season title. You went from scoring just under 2 points a game to scoring over 13. And it seemed that you looked a completely different player. And it was evident in this when you won the most improved player in the conference, which, congratulations once again. But just when you look back on that season, and you look back on, well, both of them really, what are some of the key factors that you think led to you making such a significant jump in your overall production? Because once you showed that you were really capable of playing this big role that Coach Reese wanted for you, she trusted you, and you ended up starting 33 of 33 games during that championship-winning year. So just when you look at your overall game, what are some things that you specifically worked on, or things that the coaches really wanted you to work on that you credit to allowing you to make that jump?
I think that jump is just the result of I've 2 years of just working, putting my head down and working, not thinking about anything else, and having the support of all the coaches and their help. I think they really improved my game inside and my post moves and rebounding. I think rebounding is a big part, because even the years I wasn't starting and wasn't playing much, that was the only thing I was focusing about. I think that could help the team. So, and I was just doing that and just being the role player that they needed me to be, just rebound and give the ball to Manu and MP, because that's what we needed, and just shoot when I'm open, but I was not really looking to score. And I would say the difference, I don't think mentally there was a difference, because I think from the outside it may look like I was not confident before and I just became confident when it was my junior year, but I was always confident. I didn't have the opportunity, and the opportunity just finally came and I took it and I embraced it. I loved being one of the leaders of the team and help the team and have the coaches trust. I think having Coach Tammy's trust and the whole coaching staff's trust and my teammates' trust really played a big role, because I just was playing. I didn't have to overthink anything, or I knew I was gonna make mistake and it's fine. They trusted me no matter what, so that helped a lot. But yeah, I would say it's just the result of 2 years of adapting and working hard and learning from people in front of me, and it just paid off.
And as that season's sort of progressing, I can imagine that your confidence just continues to shoot up as you start to play well. But as you start to get more starts and you really hammer down your starting role as that starting five, what was your mental state looking like as that season was going on? Because I can imagine that you had always backed yourself and knew that you were a capable player, that you were able to do this. But seeing all of that work really come to fruition as you guys continued to win games and really just dominate the Atlantic 10, how were you feeling personally throughout that season as the team just kept winning?
I felt very, very connected with my teammates. I think my whole 16 years of playing basketball, no doubt, that was my favorite year ever. Like, I had so much fun, and I loved my teammates. Like, when it was break, I was just thinking about, when is the break ending? Okay, my body's tired, but I want to see my teammates. Like, it was just, I think that helped so much, because we were just playing, and I didn't think about, I want to be great, or I was just thinking about, they're my sisters, and I'm going to give everything on the court for them. And it was just that. I think that helped a lot. Yeah, I think, what was the question again? Sorry.
Well, more or less just how you were feeling mentally throughout this season, because I can imagine that as you have started to just hammer down that spot, after 2 years of not really playing, you're still banking on that confidence. But when it actually came to fruition and you saw your work really starting to pay off, even before you guys won the regular season title, just how were you feeling just in general throughout that time period?
I think I just was trying to be patient and just work. I didn't want to think about any outcome, anything. I just wanted to be in the process. And when it finally started to pay off, it just felt like coaching stories about Obi Toppin and all these players that did it. It was just the natural, like, the what was naturally supposed to happen. So I wasn't thinking much. I was just trying to work and be patient.
And so during that championship season, you guys went 26-7, 14-2 in the conference, top of the regular season, along with UMass. And once you hit that point where it started to become clear that you guys were in that conversation to win the regular season title, and that you were just steamrolling every opponent that you guys faced. I mean, I'm looking back right now at your schedule, and I believe you guys went on like a 12-game win streak at one point during conference play. And so as that's going on, you talked about just your confidence being high. How was the team feeling during this point? Because this is, like I mentioned earlier, this was a program that has never seen success, ever. And so now you're talking about single-digit losses and possibly contending in March and beyond. And so as this is starting to become more apparent and you're really starting to see that light at the end of the tunnel, how was the overall team mood during the back end of that season?
I think we were really just having fun, and that's very special. Like, I can't really put words on it, but it felt like, you know how I told you about how I felt connected to Coach Reese, and I just had to look at her, and I knew, like, it was the same with everybody. I could just look at Sese, I knew what she was going to do. She could just throw the ball, and I knew the ball was going to get there before, so I just anticipated. And Madison, same thing. Ines, when she gets on the court, Awa, and I, like, it felt like we just were so close, and we just knew everybody's next move, so it was just natural, and we just, like, that was the best chemistry I've ever played in my whole life.
And so then, to single in on that final game, that win at home versus Dayton, you guys dominated them, you won 81-57, and just as that game is going on, too, now it's win and you win the regular season title. The confetti will fall, and it's right there. And so, walk me through just that entire game, if you can. Just prior to it, you guys understand what's at stake. What was that feeling like, and what were some of the messages that Coach Reese and Coach Amadou were giving you guys to keep you in the moment, to not let you get too carried away, but to also keep you focused on the task at hand?
They were just making sure that we really are focused and locked in, because, yes, that's a very winnable game, but anybody can be anything in the A-10, and, like, we just knew, like, that's the last one, but anything could happen. So, like, just play hard and have fun, embrace it, because you don't know if you're going to be in that position again, and especially that team was special, so, like, we knew that was one of our last games together, so just make it, like, right and make sure we don't regret anything. I think Coach Tammy had a couple games like that in her career when she was playing, so she was just sharing with us, like, how we felt and the process of it. And, yeah, we just went into the game very confident, and that was one of my best memories ever done, and I just was so happy. I remember we were just looking at each other, just hugging everybody and be like, we made history, like, that never happened, and it was just, I'll never forget. Like, that was just one of my favorite days ever.
And so during the actual game itself, I can imagine that in, like, when that first tip-off happens and you're kind of on the court, you're sitting there and you're just thinking, all right, you got to make, this game has to go perfect. Like, just going to do my job and make sure that we all play our roles and so on. And you guys really dominated for the majority of the game. But was there at any point where, not to say maybe you exhibited any anxiety, but we were sitting there being like, all right, I have to make sure that I'm fully calm, fully composed. Or were you just like that from the second you stepped out of the locker room before the game started?
I don't think I felt any anxiety or stress. I was very confident in the team and the game plan and everything we worked for. I was just thinking about, like, make sure I make it a good experience and not get frustrated for little mistakes. Just enjoy everything and even the mistakes and pick each other up, celebrate each other, and just trying to have great memories about it.
And so following that game, you guys are the Atlantic 10 regular season champions, one of the top seeds in the A-10 tournament, but you ultimately lose in the semifinal to St. Louis. I can imagine that that must have been unbelievably deflating just to get knocked out in a tournament like that anyway, but especially after the season that had just transpired, how did the team respond or to that loss? Because obviously you guys ended up making it into the WNIT and moved on two rounds in there. But just in that, like, few days following that St. Louis game, what was the team chemistry like at that point? How were the coaches trying to make sure you were able to stay together and stay as locked in as possible?
That was very hard. That was a very, like, tough loss because we all knew we could have won. Like, it was very frustrating. And I remember after the game being in the locker room when everybody was gone and just being me and Coach A, and I was crying and he was like trying to make me feel better. And I was explaining to him that I'm sad that we lost and the season's over, but I'm not really even sad, like, that sad for that, because we fought and we gave everything. I'm just sad that we're not going to play with them ever again. Like, the seniors were graduating and, like, it was just over and I was so sad. I was like, my sisters, like, it was the last game. And after that, I feel like before the tournament and during the tournament, everybody's body is banged up. We all have some injuries here and there and, like, we're tired. And I think mentally we just, like, dismiss it. We don't think about it. We're trying to act like it's not there. And after that, when you lose and the season is kind of over, you feel everything. So everybody was just so tired. It was hard to practice. And even mentally, like, coming from that loss, it was just very hard. But the coach was trying to make us think about, like, trying to remind us that we still have an opportunity to play in the WNIT and the season's not over, and just try to have great practices and take care of our bodies and be there mentally.
And when you guys actually reached the WNIT, just how did the overall mood with the team change, or how did the coaches approach that differently? Because that was the first WNIT win, or the first two that you guys got in program history. And it's uncharted territory for this team. And so to know, or were you guys, I guess, at least consciously thinking about the fact that you were the essentially most successful women's basketball team in university history at that point when you started and made it to the NIT in the first place, but when you ultimately won those two NIT games?
I don't think we were thinking about, like, that we were making history and stuff. I think we were still in the vibe of the 18 tournament, and we knew it's one and done, so just give everything. And I think I could really feel in the atmosphere that, like, we were actually really tired physically and mentally. Like, I felt it every game, and I really felt like we pulled through, and it was just, like, going over what we thought we were capable of doing. I remember that feeling, but yeah, I don't think we were thinking about, like we're making history. I think we're just trying to make the season go longer because we just love playing with each other.
And I'm curious, after the season fully concluded, following the loss to Harvard, the season is abruptly, it's done, and you guys finally get a rest and can recuperate and so on. as the months are going on and you're working and building back toward the next season, which would ultimately be your final one in Rhode Island, what was more of a motivating factor for the team going into the 23-24 season? The loss in the A-10 tournament to St. Louis or the loss at Harvard in the NIT? Because obviously Harvard is a team where Rhode Island has played them a fair bit in the last few years, and those are always some great games. But losing in the NIT, I can imagine, can be a little deflating, knowing that, all right, there the history, that's where it stops right there. Whereas in the A-10 tournament, that I can imagine almost feels deflating in the sense that we should have gone further, or our expectation was to win that tournament since we had won the regular season title. So when you look back on that, or when you guys were looking back on it preparing for that next season, did one or both of those games really stick out as true motivating factors for the next year?
I don't think the WNIT loss was in our minds, because for us, we were just better than what we showed in the 18th tournament, and we knew we were capable of doing more, so that was the focus, and we thought we were capable of winning it and have a little run in the March Madness. So like, the goal was not even the WNIT. I think we're all focused on the A-10, and that loss against St. Louis, we thought about it all year. Every time we played them, it was just, that's what was in our mind. And after, when we played them again in the tournament my last year, it was also like playing back in my head the loss, and I think everybody was feeling the same.
And going into your last year, obviously now you're a captain, you're one of the biggest figureheads on the team, a true leader. And how did you feel you had changed to that point, knowing that now you weren't just one of those younger forwards that was going to be a development project and that eventually your time was going to come? Your time was here and now, and now the coaches are going to start looking to you to really be the driving force on offense for this team. And at that point, dealing with that St. Louis loss, plus all of that put together, just what was your feelings like? What was your mental state like? And just how were you feeling about your overall game going into your final season?
I was excited. I don't think I felt anxious for the responsibilities. I feel like I've been there long enough, and I know the coaches. I know what they look for. I know every drill, what we do, what they want to see. And I think I could lead by example and just help the younger ones make it look like what the coaches want it to look like. So I was just embracing it. I think that was a good experience. I don't think that was a lot of pressure on me or anything. It was just expectations, and I didn't feel like my role was different.
And so your final year, you guys finished 21-14, but it was not nearly as dominant as many people had expected prior to the season starting. You finished A-10 play at 10-8, falling down beneath the preseason rankings that many expected Rhode Island to run away with the regular season title once again. But the A-10 tournament is really where this season stands out, because you guys made it all the way to the final, ultimately losing to Richmond. What was that A-10 tournament like, knowing that you were performing, for lack of a better term, under expectations during the regular season, and that there was a bit of noise around the team saying, oh, would they be able to really compete in the tournament amongst the likes of Richmond and St. Joe's? And what were the coaches' feelings like with you guys prior to that tournament starting?
We had a big meeting and just reset everything. We knew the season wasn't great. It wasn't our best season, but the tournament is always an opportunity to restart, and whatever happened before doesn't matter. So we just came together and found a way to make it work. It was just about grit. Like, we just wanted to go as far as possible, and I think that's just what we did. We didn't think about the season and what could have been better.
And so then, as you guys are getting through the tournament, you knock off number 11 Dayton, but then you knock off number 3 St. Joe's in the quarters, and then you face off against St. Louis in the semifinals. having been one of the players to return to the team in 23-24, having played in that game versus St. Louis, you understood the gravity of this particular matchup, let alone this game itself. Were the coaches looking to you to be one of the real leaders on the court to help guide this team during that semifinal match, knowing that you had the experience and you had understand what was at stake during this match?
Yeah, I think we didn't even need it to say anything. It was in our eyes, and we all knew that game was different, and we had to go get it. And for me, my focus, it wasn't even scoring or anything. Like, I know these games, it comes down to defense, so I was just really locked in on defense, rebounding, and whatever the offense was giving me, I was gonna take that. I wasn't gonna be over aggressive or anything, but I just knew it was gonna go through defense, and the whole team felt the same way. We were all very aggressive, and we didn't even think about the possibility of losing. It was just, we have to win this one. It was different than any other game, and the coaches.
And clearly that mindset paid off. You won. And when that final buzzer went, I mean, I can imagine that must have felt really good, knowing that you had been able to vanquish that sort of demon that had derailed your season last year. Just afterward, celebrating with the team and so on, just what were you guys thinking? Were you at least taking somewhat of a moment to relish the fact that you were able to beat St. Louis, or was it just, all right, next game, we still have a job to do, the job's not done?
It was a little bit of both. We definitely had to celebrate it and acknowledge how big that win was and how needed it was. I think I definitely sleep better now that we beat them, but we really had to refocus fast because, you know, the tournament is one game after another, and you don't have time to stay too long on what happened. You just have to turn the page and looking for the next game.
And so before we get into the that A-10 championship game, I'm curious to hear a little bit about just what you thought of Coach Reese and Coach Amadou during this season, because obviously when you're winning a lot of games, the way coaches handle themselves and the way that they sort of operate their scheme can be different from when you guys aren't winning as many games and when the standard drops. And obviously, like I mentioned earlier, like we talked about earlier, Coach Reese does hold a very high standard. She holds her players and the program overall to a very high standard. While you guys were in the midst of conference play and weren't stringing together those run of wins that we had seen the year before, what was different about Coach Reese and Coach Amadou that allowed you guys to still maintain some semblance of momentum and then ultimately go on that A-10 tournament run? Were there any different style changes or approach changes that they had made to try and tweak things, knowing that stuff wasn't really working?
I think they tried to keep the standard at the same height. They didn't, like, they always fought. They didn't accept that, like, oh, we're losing more than last year, so maybe we're just not as good. Like, no, I think their mindset stayed the same. I don't remember changing anything special. I think it was just hard for everybody to adapt to a new team that fast and perform as the year we just ended. And, like, it was a whole different group. We lost 3 fifth year with a lot of experience, and they played a big role. So we were way younger, and it was just like starting over a little bit, and we had to be patient. We knew we had potential, but it wasn't going to be easy, so it was just about like taking day after day and working hard and be patient.
And so then the A-10 championship falls upon you guys. You're going up against the number one seed in the conference, Richmond, and you ultimately lose 65-51. I can imagine that was a very anticlimactic way to end your Rhode Island career. But just when you look back on that game and you look back on that tournament as a whole, what are some of the, I guess, memories and things that you take away from that tournament that have stuck with you in terms of just how you look back on yourself as a basketball player and then as a person just during that season in general?
I think that season was very hard because obviously we didn't, for the tournament we did better than we expected, but in the season we didn't reach our expectations, so that was a lot of frustration, but also trying to enjoy because we knew that was probably the last year we were gonna have that team. And I'd say it was, I don't know, it was very mixed feelings. I was embracing the process that it's not gonna be easy and everything, but like really living with frustrations and losing some games that we know we can win was very hard. And the I remember in the final just thinking like we don't have any regret because we gave everything, but we also gotta give their flowers to Richmond. Like their game was amazing and the whole season was too. Like they just dominated. You can tell that that's the same group that they've been building for 4 years and their connection was just so good and they knew each other. It felt like our year right before this, the my last year, and it just was like they were unbeatable that year. I think they were just, we just gave everything. There was no different ending possible. I think they just deserved it more, and it was just how it was supposed to end. But we didn't have any regret because we knew we gave everything.
And so then following that game, the season ends once again, the offseason begins, and you have a bit of a decision to make because you have 1 year of eligibility remaining. You could stay in the University of Rhode Island and really try to climb over that final hump and win that Atlantic 10 championship game, or you can transfer and try and test yourself, which is what Coach Reese had said that was what you would ultimately wanted to do. You wanted to challenge yourself and you wanted to experience another program and see how far you could go. What was that decision like for you, knowing that you had just spent the last 4 years at Rhode Island, knowing that you had spent the last 4 years with a very intimate relationship with the coaching staff and this very tight-knit group of players? Was it a difficult decision to decide to transfer, and what ultimately led to it?
It was very hard because even though that's away from home and across the ocean, Rhode Island felt like home to me, and all the people there I love and I still talk to them all the time, and like it was really hard. But I felt like my last 2 seasons there were kind of similar, and I kind of wanted to see what could be different and if I could play at a higher level. I think the NC State game made me see that, like, it helped me realize that I can compete with great players, like, better in a better conference, and I just wanted to see what I can do and see if I could apply everything that I learned the past 4 years in another school. And it's not even just skills or basketball, even like as a person, if I can go another place and like help a team in different ways. And I think it was just time. I tried to give everything that I had at Rhode Island. I left with no regret. I don't think I could have gave more. And yeah, it was just time to start a new chapter.
And so now that chapter has begun, you're a member of the Utah Utes, and you guys are in the midst of a pretty good season. Like I mentioned earlier, a win over Texas Tech. You guys are 17-5 now, and just on the cusp of the women's basketball top 25. And so I'm curious, are there any major lessons or things that you did or learned while you were coached under Coach Reese and Coach Amadou that you have brought over with you to Utah that has helped you perform to this high level?
I think just perseverance. I think my rebounding numbers are not as good as Rhode Island, but that's something I'm trying to always think about, like how at Rhode Island we put a big focus on rebounding and how that can help a team. So every game I try to get more rebounds and have an effect on that area, because I think that can win a game. And just be aggressive, and doesn't matter if the shot's getting or not, like just keep being aggressive because that's what the team needs. And obviously defense and like helping on screens, all of that, boxing out, being physical, because I think that's one of the main reasons they brought me here. They needed some athleticism inside, so I'm trying to give them that, and that's what Coach A also trained me to do a lot. So it just feels like I'm doing everything that I learned. I'm doing the same things, just in a different team, different level.
And sticking around at a single college for 4 years isn't as common anymore. And with the way that college basketball and college sports in general have evolved, and with the transfer portal and NIL and so on. But I'm curious, as one of the few players in this program that was able to remain for an entire 4 year period, from what you saw in terms of the type of players that played for URI and how Coach Amadou, how they coached you, and then how they interacted with you off the court as well. From your perspective, why do you think that this program has become so successful? And why do you believe that this team has been able to go from being one of the worst in the country to, in the past couple years, being one of the most competitive in the entire nation?
I think the coaching staff is very good. They don't put up with the bare minimum. They just expect the best from everybody every day consistently, and they're not gonna cut corners or accept any player to cut corners. So that's just the standard we held to every day, and it pays off at the end. I think also they do a great job of not just recruiting players. Like I said earlier, they recruit people and they get to know you and make sure you actually fit the group and as a person and on the court. And at the end, that's what shows, I think. And no matter the skill level or where you're from or what you like to do on the court, what matters for them is that they just want players that play hard every game, and they about the team, and they just want to win.
And so then, zooming out a little bit, just looking at the University of Rhode Island as a whole, one of the big things that Coach Amadou and a few of the other players I spoke to talked about was a lot of former players have spoken about very highly about the reputation of the program and the university as a whole in regards to how they really try to make French students as comfortable as possible, and that it's somewhere where French athletes and student athletes can succeed. If you were to talk to someone like yourself who's 17, 18 years old, trying to decide if they want to make that decision and come over to the United States, whether it's playing for URI or not, what would be the message for the younger generation of college basketball players in France? What would be some of the things you would tell them if they wanted to try and decide and come play in the U.S. or even more specifically come play at URI?
Well, I don't know about the U.S. because I feel like your experience can be very different depending on where you go. But if they're thinking about going to Rhode Island, I would definitely tell them to go, because that's the best decision I've ever made in my whole life. And that just got me, that propelled me like so much forward. Like, it got me better in every area of my life. And I would redo that decision 10 times out of 10 every time, because that's just, I think that's just like, it was just logic. That's what we had to do. And he the process of like getting better there, it was so genuine and it was so personalized, and I think anybody could benefit from that. And like, you come back to your country and play pro and you're gonna be more ready than if you were just go when you were 18 or 17.
All right. Well, Maya, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story and just let me know about all of this, because I mean, this was fantastic, and getting the chance to have watched you really grow from when I started in 2021 to now being able to see you ball out for Utah is just great, and it's a real testament to the work that Coach Reese has done. I'd say that if there is any physical embodiment of how this program has grown and turned around, you are probably the representation of that growth and change. So I mean, thank you again for taking the time to come on and talk with me about this, and good luck with the rest of the season at Utah, because I'm very excited to see if you guys can make a tournament push, because that would be a lot of fun to see an alumni of this program be able to go out and shine on the national stage.
Thank you. I'm excited, but it was really nice to talk to you, and you know, always I'm here for Rhode Island, anything. That's my family, so I really appreciate you having me.
Awesome. Well, everyone else listening at home, thank you so much for tuning in. If you want more updates on other shows and the continuation of this project, just tune in on Instagram and X, formerly Twitter, @MarksRemarksPod. And yeah, stay tuned for more updates, and I'll see you all in the next one.